This is Michael Stauffer. Today I'm meeting with John Elrick, who's a candidate for Village Trustee. Hello, John.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Let's begin with some basic questions here. Why are you running for office? Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in serving the public as a Little Chute Village Trustee.
Well, personally, I'm a 40-year-old, just started out my own small business here in town within the last year, wife and three children. I did go to school in Green Bay for architecture. My business is design and construction management for commercial construction. But I've been actively involved in our community for nearly 20 years, ranging from nonprofit organizations to different committees, commissions for the village. Village-wise, I started on the Planning Commission in the mid-90s and then also was on the Community Development Authority and Board of Review prior to being elected a trustee in 2005. In 2005, I had to relinquish those three commissions and eventually was appointed back to Planning Commission for, another 4 years, and then with the recent election, I was moved to Community Development Authority again. My reason for running is plain and simple to be involved and help shape the future of Little Chute. In the three prior elections, starting in 2005, I never ran for a specific reason, an agenda. I was upset about something that isn't why I ran. I ran because I was involved and I wanted to be more involved. I've never gotten involved into any organization, nonprofit, whatever, other for a personal benefit or reason other than to network with others that care about where we live.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about the small business. You said that you went into business yourself recently. I know you have quite a background in architecture, construction. Tell us a little bit more. Is it located here in Little Chute?
Yes. My office is located in the Vanderloop Shoe Building on the second floor. And I moved into there July of last year of 2010, and I'm still there. I'm the only employee right now, trying to make it go. And if we could get the financing industry straightened out a little bit, where they would lend money, I could actually make a dollar.
Is this an architectural endeavor of yours?
It's a design and construction management. So right now, what I'm doing is there's architectural firms throughout the valley that I know people at, and I do construction documents, preliminary drawings. I've done some 3D work for the Little Chute Gridiron. But in a nutshell, right now what's paying my bills is the design part, the drafting, the CAD work, and then just recently I landed the facade renovation for Baker's Outlet.
Okay, let's move on to our first question about this one is about the economy. The economy is on most people's minds right now, especially jobs. According to the Census Bureau in Little Chute, one out of every five jobs are created by small businesses with less than 20 employees. Another two out of the five are from mid-sized businesses with 20 to 100 employees. And over 95% of the businesses in Little Chute are either small or mid-sized, much like you're talking about. You're a small businessman right now. How will you support existing small and mid-sized businesses and encourage the development of new ones?
My feeling is that we support the existing businesses by keeping rates for services down, from taxes to sewer and water rates to electric rates. Those are the items that get paid regularly, monthly, quarterly, and so on, yearly, but they're reoccurring. They happen continuously. So if we can keep those numbers in check, that's how I think we support our small businesses. My goal in Dale Hogg, finance director, is well aware that my feeling is that we need to be in the bottom 25% as far as rates, however you look at bottom top, but the lowest cost for overall rates. And to me, that's how we're going to attract businesses. That we are very fortunate in that the majority of our community is served by Kekauna Utilities, and most people in the area, at least, are aware that Kekauna Utilities are cheaper than We Energies is from the electric standpoint. And so we have that natural marketing tool available to us. And if we can keep our other rates, when businesses come in, they look at, what's your tax rate? What's my stormwater regs? What do I have to do? Do I have to have on-site detention? So on and so forth. The lower we can keep those costs, the better off everybody, the better off the village is going to be in attracting and maintaining a business culture. That's kind of both how do we keep the existing and new development. The other thing on the new development, I think we need to go after as an overall area. I think we need to go after that really big fish, the Saturn, the Boeing that was looking at the area, you know, years ago. But I think if Appleton needs to have that, then fine. But there's so many other businesses that support that big fish with the just-in-time materials and suppliers, that is where we can get 50,000 square feet of manufacturing and 30,000 square feet of manufacturing. So we don't have the next corporate America here in Little Chute, but you know what? We have 15 businesses that support that corporate America business. To me, that's how, if we can somehow get the area to land that, and I think New North is going to do a good job. We see a lot of requests come through from New North as an extension of for the area. So I'm real happy with how that's going. As far as the small business end of it, I've met with Administrator Kell, Bobby Beckman from the Heart of the Valley Chamber, as well as Gary Van Hale from BLC, and we're looking into an incubator building, much like what Advance, I don't remember if it's Advance Green Bay or what it is exactly, but it's a division of the Green Bay Chamber of Commerce. But in a nutshell, they provide low cost rent in services, as well as coaching from SCORE, or they can hook up with angel investors, different things like that. And one of the thoughts was to put that incubator in the downtown, where possibly even the SOM building or whatever. That's what the initial start was. And then through meeting with those people, it became apparent that, you know, we needed to look at other options, which obviously great. I mean, and that's the whole point of having a meeting. So the incubator building, I think, is in its very early stages, and hopefully between the Heart of the Valley and, you know, whether it's in Kekauna or Little Chute or Kimberly or Combined Locks, the bottom line is that if we can get businesses starting, eventually they're going to need to expand. And you know what? Maybe Little Chute is where they end up.
Very interesting on two parts. I really don't even have a follow-up question because you covered this so thoroughly. But your comment, first of all, connecting small businesses to the big businesses, either in Little Chute or in the area, and how big business will look for the support of small business, very, very important to small businesses in Little Chute. And then the incubator idea, this is the first I've actually heard people talking realistically about an incubator, but that's I'm glad you mentioned that. That's the kind of thing that I'm sure will help Little Chute, the small businesses.
Well, everybody needs to understand that it was one meeting so far. So, I mean, we're at the very early stages, and my understanding is that it was going to go in front of the Heart of the Valley Chamber Board of Directors, and so right now it's kind of in their hands.
In the works, so to speak.
But it's not, I mean, it's early. And I want people to understand that it's early. It's not.
But at least it's being discussed, which is very, it's timely, I think, for Little Chute. Let's move on to the next question about government finances. When we think about government finances, many of us immediately think taxes. We've actually talked about taxes already a bit here, but taxes are only one way to finance government. Fees are another means of generating revenue, sometimes a hotly debated means. Fees can be paid directly to the village or to third parties for village-mandated products and services. How do you view the use of fees versus taxes, the mix of fees and taxes, to fund the activities of the village of Little Chute?
Well, I know the garbage fee is the hot ticket, hot button right now. But really, there's not a person running for office. I don't care if it's village trustee, town supervisor, county executive, governor of Wisconsin. There's nobody that can make a statement that quote will say, I will maintain the current level of services and not raise your taxes and or fees. Now, okay, granted, they could say that, but it's not a statement that they can live up to. It's not feasible. So when you look at what happened with the state government, and because of the debacle that they're in, they passed down levy limits to every community in the state. The problem was, in my opinion, the problem is that Little Chute was fiscally responsible. Little Chute was maintaining the level of service and maintaining a good ratio for levy limits. Then what happens in government is you get the one bad year. And you know what? Because we didn't increase the maximum amount every year that the levy limits were imposed on us, the one year I think we were at less than a 1% levy increase. Well, and 3% I think was the maximum. Because we didn't go to that 3%, that floating target number is now lower. And when we needed them, when we needed to utilize that money or that limit, that levy limit availability, we weren't able to do that. And I have a problem with state government who can't manage their books, telling us when we can balance a budget every year. And granted, sometimes we use fund balance, but honestly, that's kind of what fund balance is for. But I have a problem with them telling us that we don't know what we're doing, but you spend more than you take in.
Just a question here about fund balance for the listeners. When you talk about fund balance, you're talking about building up, in essence, a savings account during the good times that you can draw down on when you have a bad year. Is that a good way of characterizing the fund balance for the village?
Well, yes and no. Yes, the fund balance is a savings account, but how the fund balance is generated is because our department heads don't spend all of the money that they have budgeted every year, so there's a surplus. So, I mean, when you go in and you budget $100,000 for a new vehicle or a new piece of equipment, and it costs $80,000 because we didn't need this bell or whistle or whatever, you end up with a $20,000 balance. So that goes into the general fund. That's just an example. But in a nutshell, that's what it is. It's an accumulation of our department heads being frugal, being cost conscious, and doing their job the way that it's, in my opinion, the way that it should be.
Okay, thank you for that. Let's move on to a question about transparency in government. Wisconsin's public records law requires open access to village records for all citizens. However, getting copies of village documents can sometimes be complicated. For example, information packets given to village trustees in open session sometimes include documents that visitor packets don't have. Also, announcements about village contracts and agreements often aren't widely publicized, and this is something that's been pointed out on the state level recently as well. How do you propose making village records as freely available as possible to the general public?
I wasn't sure where this question was going, so I made a call to a clerk's office today, and my understanding is that unless there is some personal information that is not supposed to be out to the public or something like that, all the packets are prepared the same, whether it's for village board members or for the extra copies in the back. There are handouts that are given to trustees during meetings, and to the best of my knowledge, there may not be enough copies for everybody, but I believe there are enough copies for the members of the press that show up. So I'm not really sure where that question was going. As far as the village contracts between the village, I'm assuming it's the union contracts that.
No, this is just a general question, John, and both of them you've already, in a sense, answered the question of what to do about open records. If there's any reason to be concerned about records not being open, what you already did, I think, serves as an example of what correct me if I'm wrong, but what should be done by a trustee. You went and you talked to the clerk and you found out what the process was and whether there was anything that could be done to improve the process. That sort of thing is also where the direction of the village contracts question. I can't remember the organization that just recently pointed this out on a state basis as well, but there are contracts at the state level that exist without people knowing they exist. So without knowing that a particular contract exists, you can't ask the question of what's in the contract because you don't even know as a member of the public to ask for the contract. And so that's the intent of this question is what do you do as a trustee in order to address concerns by villagers about open records? That's perhaps a fairer way of putting the question.
I guess my opinion is that open records is a line of communication. Can the village be better at communicating? Absolutely. There's always room for improvement. With that said, I honestly can't think of a contract that has any significant dollar amount to it that we don't know that doesn't exist. I mean, there may be something under, say, $10,000 or I don't remember what the limit is for staff that has to go out for a request for proposal. But in a nutshell, I mean, if we need to micromanage a $10,000 contract, then we have bigger problems. So
just to summarize quickly, if there's a concern on the part of citizens, and then they come up from time
sure.
to time, if there's a concern about contracts that are signed and there's no question that those contracts are available to the public except under there are certain conditions where contracts need to be kept secret, but they're very rare. So if anyone has a concern about being able to read a contract or knowing what contracts have been signed and available, that's just available at the village hall, through the village clerk?
My opinion would be to start with there, but I'm not 100% certain that that's the proper protocol, but that's where I would start. And if it isn't with Vicki, then she can direct you to who it does lead to.
Okay, thank you for that, John. Lastly, let's talk about the village's downtown area. In recent years, there has been some development along Main Street. although much of the focus has been on the Dutch Boys and the windmill projects. But these developments are both west of the Village Hall. And as you had mentioned just a little earlier, you've now opened an office to the east of the Village Hall. How do we help develop the downtown area east of the hall? And how can we keep existing businesses and attract new businesses like yours to this area?
Well, neither you nor I have enough time to belabor how to get our downtown more active. I've been involved with ALC Advanced Little Chute, board of director on there, and I know that group is looking at disbanding, but nonetheless, when I was on ALC, I was also involved in different subcommittees, and one of those subcommittees was the retail committee. And
ALC is Advanced Little Chute.
The short and sweet of it is that we need more people concentrated living closer to downtown. Mm-hmm. Hence the reason why I didn't financially support the Dutch Boys project, but I did think that we needed to listen to what the developer was proposing. Also, the village has acquired properties along Grand Avenue in targeting senior housing. To me, that's how we're going to keep this downtown. We need to get the areas around the center of town in somewhat of a redeveloped fashion, whether it's sprucing up the exterior facades of homes, getting people to buy into the fact that, you know what, take responsibility and take a sense of pride in your home. And I don't mean that negatively. We do have a lot of people that care greatly about their homes. But to me, that's how you're going to get more people downtown. Also, quite honestly, the merchants need to promote what they can do or provide, whether it's word of mouth or advertising. And one of the things that came out of the Advanced Little Chute sessions was that, for instance, we were looking at a cheese outlet. We were saying the cheese outlet would be good downtown. The issue with that is that there's not enough retail traffic, not enough foot traffic downtown right now for that business to be sustainable, so they needed to have a backdoor business selling via the internet or large quantities or something of that sort. So the bottom line is there's no cut and dried answer to the question. Do you want the village to put more regulations on so that we don't have tattoo parlors or we don't have bars? And believe me, I don't have nothing against a tattoo parlor. I have one myself. I just, it's the sense that people get. And I don't think people want us as a village to put more regulations on. What we really need or really want is to work with the building owners and encourage a certain type of development. If you can encourage Mr. Somm to look and actively pursue a unauthentic Dutch bakery. You know, those are the types of, you have to communicate that to the building owners. And again, I think, you know, Advanced Little Chute was starting to do that, but the wind kind of they lost the wind in their sails, and I'm not sure that where that's going to go right now, but, you know, it is what it is. So,
And Mr. Somm, just to clarify, is the owner of the downtown building that used to be, I think, the Lux Hardware, isn't that right?
Originally,
many years ago, yes.
Yep. Regardless of whatever communication comes from the village, the bottom line is that the property owners, the tenants, and the community need to support these businesses. If you run to Menards for all your miscellaneous home improvement needs, don't expect to see a hardware store come back to downtown. Our small businesses in town are going to succeed or fail based on the support of the community, not solely by what local government offers as incentives. We need to help when possible, and I feel we have great programs available. Revolving loan, the facade renovation program, the microloan, But the bottom line is it still takes the business person to operate it correctly.
John, I want to thank you not only for your concise description of the issues, but also your perspectives on how to approach them and how to solve them. Thank you for your time here today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.